Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series, by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 7. Nothing happens the rest of the day, and I head home. On the way back to the house, I decide to try to make it to school 2 or 3 days a week. That should make everybody but me happy. I'll just need to stay away from Kurt and his gang, and Nancy. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. The next morning, I don't wake up until school has started, so I decide to skip, and it feels great to just make up my mind on the spur of the moment like that. The downside is I'm finding out just how lousy pretty much everything on TV is. If we, I mean I, had some of those premium channels, things would be different. But I don't know how much more they would cost, and I haven't called yet to find out. The truck catches my eye one morning when I'm out in the barn checking to see if Daddy had any other hiding places for liquor. That part is a total bust. Nothing in there that I can find. But looking at the truck starts me thinking, why should I wear myself out on that bike when I can drive? The keys are still in the ignition from the night I pulled it into the barn, so I slide behind the steering wheel and turn the switch. Nothing. I try again, and again nothing. I take the key out, put it back in and turn it again, and this time it comes to life for a second, dies, and then the engine turns over very slowly, slower every time it turns, and then there's a cough and another, and the motor speeds up and starts firing more evenly, and the thing is running. Slumping back against the seat, I let the truck run while I think. Sounded like the battery was almost dead. So did I leave a light on somewhere? The headlights are off, so is every other light I can think to check. Maybe the battery is just old and can't sit idle for long before dying or going bad or whatever it is that batteries do. Now I'm mad at Daddy all over again for not teaching me more about cars, not that he knew anything himself. The truck is still running, and I turn on the headlights. They work fine, and the instruments light up a little. Not much. It's not that dark in the barn with the sunlight coming through the cracks between the boards, but enough for me to see the gas gauge is close to the E. I need to drive down to the gas station and fill the tank. The closest station is 2 miles away and pretty busy most of the time. I try to decide when it would be the best to go. I don't want to run into anybody I know, and sure as hell don't want him to run into Deputy Fife. Our town sits across the river from the county seat, and we're not big enough for our own police, so they send a cruiser over a few times a week to loop around the school and the few businesses. Nothing much happens here, and most everybody knows when the policeman, try to think of his real name and finally remember that it's Anderson, Jerry Anderson, makes his rounds. I think that today is one of the days he stays on his side of the river, which makes it a good day to get some gas. I put the truck in reverse and start backing and hit the barn door, which I haven't opened. I put the truck in drive and pull away from the door and get out, hoping I can still open the damn door. is not damaged, no thanks to my stupidity, and I swing the doors wide and get back in the truck. This time I make it out without running into anything. After I clear the door, I stop and get out, heading back to the barn. Then I realize I shouldn't close the barn door. I'll be back in 15 minutes or so. This way I can pull right in and get it out of sight quicker. So I leave it, go into the house and get a 20, and head out on the road. It's my first time driving anywhere except around the fields. Daddy and I did that early this summer, and he made me get out after I almost took out part of the fence around the garden. "Damn fool, can't do anything right," is what he said. "Just go on back to your house, back to your mama." I tightened my grip on the wheel thinking about that, how I went back into the house and into my room and stayed until he came back and dragged me out, calling me a baby sulking in his crib. I stopped the truck before I pull out on the road, trying to calm myself down. The trip to the station is pretty easy once I get the feel of the truck. It seems enormous, like it takes up almost all the road, and the first time I meet a car, the Jenkinses, I think, I almost put the truck in the ditch. When I get to the gas station, I pull up to the pump, get out, and realize the gas cap's on the other side, so I have to get back in and turn around. I finally get into the right position, hoping nobody noticed, and go into the convenience store. I'll take 15 in gas. I'll be in after I fill up to get a couple more things. The guy behind the counter looks at me a little strange, but nods and takes the 20. "It shuts off by itself," he says. "Pump 2, right?" I nod and head out, feeling his eyes on me all the way back to the truck. I put $15 of regular in the tank, hoping that's the right grade, and pull away and park beside the store. When I get out, I see the cover to the gas tank open. Remember that I didn't put the cap back on. It's sitting on top of the pump, so I run over and grab it, twist it closed, and close the cover, and go into the store. I pass the beer section because I knew I'd just get laughed at, grab a candy bar and a can of Thunderstorm soda and pay at the counter. The guy's still looking at me, and I finally say, "Something on your mind?" I know it's a stupid move. I'm trying to stay invisible, but he was starting to piss me off a little. "Usually see your daddy in that truck." Oh, shit. I try to just blow it off, but my mouth is really dry all of a sudden. "Yeah, he's kind of under the weather. Asked me to get a little gas." "You got a license?" I laugh. "Hell no, I don't have a license. I'm just coming down to the store for some gas. Not going to Atlanta or anywhere that anybody cares." He looks at me and then almost smiles. "Yeah, I might have run the roads a little bit myself back a few years ago. You better get on home before somebody sees you that can't remember what they did when they were your age." I nod. "That's where I'm headed." "Tell your daddy to get better. Uncle Frank needs him back in the field as soon as he can get there." "I'll tell him." Now I'm thinking I need to get out of here as quick as I can before he starts asking more questions about daddy. I back away from the counter and almost knock the next customer down. I don't wait to see if it's anybody I recognize. Just head out and jump in the truck. When I turn the key, it takes a second, and I think I'm in deep trouble, but it catches, and then I'm out on the road, headed back to the house. When I get back home, I pull into the barn and let the truck run for a few minutes, looking at the gas gauge. 3/4 of a tank. I make a note to come out every other day and start it up, let it run for a few minutes, keep the battery charged. And I wonder what I'm going to do if something really goes wrong with the truck. Not much, I guess. The candy bar and Thunderstorm soda make a pretty good lunch, and I catch a nap, make another trip out to the pool, and almost finish the first jar of Shine that evening. And I'm starting to like this, sipping and watching TV and not thinking about much of anything. I don't stay up past midnight, thinking I'll try school again tomorrow. School is feeling more and more like a waste of my time. I stay out of trouble, but I can feel it. The teachers, especially in English class, are going to start paying more attention to me if I slide too far. I never was a great student, but now I'm really awful. And they're going to ask me about that sooner or later. I don't know exactly what to do about that. I never was a star, but I was a pretty good student. Funny how that's working against me now.
I'd pick a fight or bring some shine to school or something that would get me kicked out, but then they'd want to talk to Mama and Daddy. I can't call attention to that. Maybe what I need to do is come up with some kind of story about Daddy so when people ask, I'll have something ready. I've been blindsided a couple of times already, and I don't like that. I take today off from school, still a great feeling to just decide that, and decide to take a little inventory. Still nothing from Mama and Hannah, and I don't want to call them until I come up with something about Daddy that makes sense and is too much trouble to check out. For now, I need to see what I've got. Money. I've got the 200 behind the canned tomatoes, the 200 in my underwear drawer, and 162 in my pocket. Food. Refrigerator's got bologna, cheese, drinks, something in the vegetable drawer that looks slimy, canned soup and tomatoes and beans, and one more jar of that salsa that Hannah talked Mama into on the shelf in the cabinet. A box of elbow macaroni. Shine. 3 full jars and one about 1/4 full. Gas. 3/4 of a tank in the truck. Seems like a lot to me. My trips to the pool are now the best part of the day. I'm going up almost every day now, and I'm changing up the time of day since I don't have anybody setting the schedule for me. I know I've got to figure out what to do when people ask about Daddy, but it seems like it would dirty the place to think about it up there, so I sit down to try to figure something out before I go up there today. He's been gone way over a week now, and nobody has asked about him unless you count the guy at the gas station, so that's good. Not many people miss him. I know I don't. For just a flicker of time, I'm ashamed of that, since he was my daddy and all, but I get over that pretty quick. All I have to do is think about having to clean up his mess, and the shame is gone. Nobody's asked me about Mama, and I think that's weird until I remember nobody's asked about Hannah either, and I've been to school a few times since they left. I guess Mama must have told the school she was taking Hannah with her, and I'd be staying here and finishing out the school year with Daddy. It would help to know if she did talk to the school and what kind of lie she made up if that was the case. I don't want to call and ask her until I figure out what to say about Daddy. So, what can I say? I could say he found work somewhere out of town, but that doesn't explain the truck. It would explain almost everything else, though, so I give that some more thought. I know he hung out with a bunch of those guys he worked the fields with, even though he talked about them behind their back. He did that with everybody except me. He never waited until my back was turned to talk his trash about me. He did it right to my face. Now I'm mad all over again, and I have to let that go away so I can think. This leaving for work somewhere else kind of makes sense, so I see if it needs any more work before I try it out on somebody. There's the truck. That's the big problem. I could say it broke down, and he got pissed off and told me he was going to catch a ride to the next place they were picking. He'd already be mad because of Mama and Hannah, so that works too. I'll tell people, if anybody asks, that he got mad and left when the truck wouldn't start. No, that won't work, because I drove it to the gas station. Damn fool thing to do. Maybe the transmission started slipping and he got mad about that and just left it. That makes sense. Everybody knew that Daddy knew about his temper. I remember one time in the middle of town he got mad at the truck and started beating on the hood. Had quite a crowd before he finally wore down, so if anybody remembered that, him getting mad at the truck would make sense. Yeah, that works. He came home mad about the truck transmission, and then he got the note from Mama, and that really sent him over the edge. He stormed out, and I haven't seen him since. Okay. I feel like I need to check on the grave. When I get to the little field, the ground has settled even more. That part's barely noticeable, but the kudzu kind of stands out there in the middle of the field with no more kudzu anywhere else around it. But maybe that's because I'm looking for it. It's growing. A couple of new shoots and the leaves look good. So I think that a couple more weeks and it won't stand out so much. The rest of the grass in the field's getting higher and that helps too. We had sold what few animals we had a couple of years ago and what's growing there isn't worth baling, so I'm not worried about that. I go back into the house and take a look in Mama's room. It's still pretty much of a mess, and I start to clean it up. When I realize it's kind of evidence about my story about them being mad at each other. Maybe I should leave it alone. I think I will leave it alone. Hannah's room I also decide to leave alone, and I go on down to my room. Frankie's side is still just the way Mama insisted that it stay, like he was coming back any time, and it gets me thinking. How many lies did Mama tell herself and try to keep secret from everybody? That Frankie wasn't dead? That Daddy would turn out to be a good husband if she just worked at it hard enough? And I wonder what kind of lies she told herself about me. I don't like thinking about this stuff, so I go in and turn on the TV. I mix some Shine with a little Thunderstorm soda, sit down in front of the TV, and start flipping channels. There's nothing on, as usual, but I find a movie I haven't seen yet and settle in for the evening. And there's a knock on the door.
I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.